There's a better place to get your podcast. GCNlive.com. Hundreds of thousands of hours. Archived for your listening pleasure. All free at GCNlive.com.
Season, boy, I feel ya. Strep throat and everything else that could possibly be thrown my way has been a big reminder. If you're out there hacking your lungs up, please cover up. Now I'm starting to notice it because I think that's what happened to me. You know, if I ever get sick, I'm sick. And that means probably I sat near somebody or we're near somebody who didn't, Kleenex or cover themselves up, or who knows, germs spread so easily. Remember this time last year, we ended up going to Grenada for that virologist conference, and when I came back from there, I thought, oh my gosh, people don't wipe anything down. How come people don't wash their hands? And I noticed it more and more, and this is, as those doctors told me, you know, these scientists really told me, that's how so many of those viruses spread, especially like on cruise ships, you know, the norovirus that we saw a lot of in this chikungunya that's ripping through the Caribbean. But we have flu in the United States, and everywhere you go, it seems like everywhere I look, if I don't see a sign for Girl Scout cookies are going to be sold, I see a sign for flu shots. I was at the vet's whatever day it was a couple weeks ago, and I saw flu shots. I thought, wow, the veterinarian is giving flu shots? Something's wrong here. Is this a way to get a little business on the side? All right, speaking of a little business on the side, the president is getting a little business still about not attending the march where so many other world leaders were on Sunday for the Fallen from Charlie Hebdo, that satirical magazine. Especially as I mentioned on our last show, when you had like Benjamin Netanyahu there and the Palestinian leader, and they weren't too far from each other. Merkel was there, and of course David Cameron, the British Prime Minister as well, and you know, you name the country and they were, but we had the unknown French ambassador. And this is just a story that's not going to drop like that. It's not going to fall away. And the questions keep coming up at the White House briefing. And frankly, a lot of it is because not just American writers or columnists, but so many overseas are challenging it, asking the questions. Why not? Well, who was watching football? What was really happening there? And even Joe Lieberman, and think of Joe Lieberman, really a lifelong Democrat, then became independent, ran for on the ticket with Gore as the vice president, longtime senator, the former senator, really had his own take on why can't the administration, more than not being at that march, why can't the administration ever just say Islamic terrorist? It's just what it is. It's not saying Muslims. There's like this differentiation, but they won't say the word Islamic terrorist. But really, everybody else is saying that, including, of course, in France. And Joe Lieberman was on one of the shows today, one of the cable shows, and they did a great interview, and I happened to catch it. And here was a little tiny slice of Liebs talking about what a mistake that is for the press.
I don't understand it. I had a running battle with them during the years I was in the Senate. Yes, there are other, sure, there's forms of extremism that threaten us, but the one we're at war with is violent Islamist extremism. That's the force that attacked America on 9/11. That's what we in Congress authorized the president to take military action against after that. That's obviously who is responsible for the three murders, that is the three attacks in France last week. So, you know, you go back all the way to the Chinese philosopher of war, strategist Sun Tzu, and he said, the first thing you got to do when you're at war is know your enemy and call your enemy what it is.
All right, there you go. I like the point that he made at the end of that. We're going to talk to Bridget Johnson coming up next here on America Tonight from PJ Media. She runs the Washington Bureau, part of that. And she's covered politics for a long time. not just in Washington, but in other areas. And she has an interesting take on not being there for the march. What does that mean? What does it do? And also on this, on not saying, you know, for some reason, just not going along with the Islamic terrorists, just calling it something else, just terror in general, sort of the generic name. And there are a couple of other things that have happened. Even with what's gone on in Paris, there's a show that I watch. I'm not a huge TV head, probably more movies. You know, we do the cheap movie review here for relaxation. But I do watch a show and really love a show called Homeland. And it's excellent. Showtime does it. I read the book. I read the back in the pro, because they've got two sides of that. And they're talking about the fact that Claire Danes, who plays the CIA case officer, Carrie Matheson, it almost feels real, because so many of the storylines are like ripped from the headlines, but almost accidentally in some cases, it seems. So they're talking about, for creative reasons and to avoid repetition is what they're saying, to avoid some of the terrorist stuff, because they're heavy into this, but they might avoid a Muslim terrorist storyline next season. It's kind of up in the air. They've been huddling and talking about it and talking about how difficult it is to deal with it, that they want to be relevant and that they can come up with new stories, but instead they don't necessarily want to go back to the Middle East. It could be Africa. It could be something else. And, you know, whatnot, it's a scary time, and it's a controversial political truth, and that's Homeland. That's the series. It's based on an Israeli format, and it's focused on Muslim extremists and Middle East terrorists since this show launched in 2011. So we'll see. They, I don't know, part of it is the sensitivity to what happened in Paris, but it's dead on right. They take a lot of information, I know this, from people who were in the CIA, and if there's anything closer to the truth, I think a lot of what you see on that show is, maybe that's why I like it, because it's not, it's because of what I know through sources and what all of you know, things that are out there, it seems very, very realistic. So that'd be a shame if they gunk that up or feel pressured. If they do it on their own, that's different. But if they feel pressured, that's a different thing. And, of course, it wouldn't be America Tonight if we weren't talking about the GOP and who's running, who's coming off the bench. We know Chris Christie obviously wants to run. He poo-pooed it when he was popular and was on the cover of Time magazine and other magazines. And then when he got attacked for the whole Bridgegate thing, even though he was really cleared of that, now he's supposedly setting up a leadership political action committee, and you got to set up a PAC, before the end of the month to help raise money, looking toward the White House in 2016. I mean, if there's anybody, if there's any horse in the race who has no chance even to beat Jeb Bush, I would say that would be Chris Christie. He had his shot, and it was probably the last time around, to be in the middle of the fray, and he didn't do it. And I think it's the wrong time for Chris Christie. If I handicapped this race, I would put him at dead to last. I would put so many others before Chris Christie. Bridget Johnson in the wings, PJ Media. We're talking about Islam, Islamic terrorism specifically, what happened in Paris, and a whole bunch of other things wrapped around that. Stay with us. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment
frequent basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years, hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw for enterprise, or is our monetary unit, we call the Federal Reserve Note, forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states, it's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
So we decided to upgrade the look of our home.
You know, improve the curb appeal.
We decided to add the look of stone to the exterior.
We really like the stacked stone look.
Yeah, but when I checked into the price, it was ridiculous. No way could we afford it.
Then a friend told me about Genstone. G-E-N-S-T-O-N-E.
Genstone comes in lightweight panels made of polyurethane. They've actually engineered the hassle out of installation. No mortar, no mesh. It was easy. Even I could do it.
We just screwed the panels to the wall and it looks like stone. I mean, it really looks like stone.
Yeah, from the box to the wall in minutes.
We love the look of our home now.
And Genstone is durable, comes with a 25-year warranty, and offers additional R-value for insulation.
If you want the look of stone at a price you can afford, call Genstone
at 855-955-STONE.
Trust me, you'll save money.
And you'll love the look.
855-955-STONE. That's 855-955-7866.
Talking about this here on America Tonight, the fact that on Sunday, when the world was watching what was going on in Paris and the outcry and the overwhelming amount of people, including all the world leaders, we were noticeably absent. Yes, our ambassador to France was there, but I said this the other day, how many people can name that person? No president, no VP, and really the president needed to be there. So there's this big snub factor that's still churning and burning across Europe. And then, of course, while that was happening in Paris, then there was this conversation with the president about, gee, what did you think of the college football championship? And he talked about how well it was working and all that kind of stuff. So joining us in our virtual green room right now is Bridget Johnson. She is the Washington editor for PJMedia.com. Bridget, what do you make of the president and the snub to what happened in Paris?
Well, the White House sure wants it to go away. I can
no
say
kidding.
That.
Yeah.
You know, we've been pressing them with questions for the past couple days. And, you know, Josh Earnest, I think that he felt that just by coming out yesterday and saying, yeah, it was probably a mistake, we should have sent somebody. He thought it was going to die at that. But, you know, now, you know, we're asking, okay, so you're saying that it was a random behind-the-scenes decision. Who made the decision? You know, because you're saying that President Obama did not make the decision, but is he not the commander-in-chief? You know, did he actually not know anything about an invitation from President Hollande, which is strange because they talked on the phone.
Wow.
And then at another point, you know, Josh Earnest was trying to say, No, I don't even know what Obama was doing on Sunday. And then another point he says that, oh, yeah, he watched the march on TV. Okay, just tell us he was watching football. You know, just be honest with us. But, so I mean, there's greater repercussions in the fact that it comes off looking like one of two things, that either the president didn't care or that somehow he was afraid to go to this march. And the White House has repeatedly talked about the security issues, but how would the risk for President Obama have been any worse than it was for other leaders who attended? You know, Benjamin Netanyahu is a greater assassination target. The King and Queen of Jordan were there. You know, they're a big target for terrorists. And so there's a lot of lingering questions still from it.
Yeah, and like you said, I think they're trying to kind of two-step around it in D.C., and they're not having an easy time of it because this is the story that keeps on giving, because as you mentioned, there are other targets there that if we want to argue that who had more of a security risk, we could make that argument. And, you know, you have the Palestinian leader just a few feet from Israel's leader, but no American president. And I would love to be a fly on the wall if really when there's honesty flowing and transparency among the right hand and the left hand man in the White House with the press, if they're not regretting that decision. I bet you they do.
They are. And it's just kind of confusing, you know, like, okay, so at what point did he get up to Dennis McDonough, the chief of staff? Because I was looking at their guidance that they were sending out, you know, a few days before the weekend. And I kept seeing, you know, nothing scheduled for Obama on Saturday or Sunday. You know, Vice President Biden in Delaware hanging out at his house, you know, on Saturday and Sunday. And just thinking, oh, come on, guys. You know, and so it just kind of feels that, you know, there's been a long time vacancy for optics manager at the White House that's never been filled because it should have been crystal clear that there needed to be some sort of at least administration level representation at that march.
Yeah, I think so too, and that somebody just didn't hand the ball off right. You know, you've covered what's gone on in Washington for a while now. Certainly I have through both of these, through the last couple of administrations, but in looking what happened with Obama heading into the second term, one of the things, and you know this, is why it became a punchline for comedians, is that whole idea of transparency. And it's like somebody told me once that every administration they covered, they'd say, we're going to be the administration that does X, Y, Z, and then that's what they didn't do. And I've talked to a lot of veterans who were in that press, that daily press briefing, and they say they've never seen anything like it. That if anything, it's they don't know what's going on half the time. They say the wrong times for things, and it's more discombobulation than other Republican or Democratic administrations. Do you feel that way?
Absolutely. And you know, my colleagues feel the same way, too. This is like, it was pretty unprecedented when, you know, about a year and a half ago, the Committee to Protect Journalists came out with a report on the Obama administration. You can compound that on top of the White House Press Photographers Association, you know, saying, hey, you know, we're never allowed access to him. You know, we're just expected to take photos from the official White House photographer and you know, run those as the absolute. But as far as transparency in that briefing room, too, it's gotten to the point where reporters are going, you know, just verbatim to Josh Earnest, hey, you said you were going to be transparent. You know, somebody said that to him today. you promised transparency. You know, how come you're being so secretive on this? And he just comes back with, you know, you've heard me say all I'm going to say on this. So it's become not so much even like a job of White House correspondent anymore as it is detective. You know, you have to go hunting for everything that the White House is not going to reveal.
Yeah, boy, absolutely crazy. It's just funny in comparing previous, you know, you go to Bush, you can even go to Clinton, and then you go before that, and you look down and you talk to people that have covered exclusively the White House even for however many decades, and they all echo the same things. And it's nothing about left or right or anyone's particular preferences. It's just is, you know, what it is at this point. So if there's going to be this summit, as you know, they're going to have the summit on terrorism. And do you think then that's kind of when the floodgates come open? Because there is kind of this theory that's been tossed around, as you know, that the president doesn't want to really have to delve too much into Islamic terrorism. Even the other day I heard the former Senator Joe Biden say, Lieberman say that he feels as though that the president doesn't want to attach himself so much to that. He doesn't want to use those words. He doesn't want to describe that. Do you think that's more posturing by people out there, or do you think maybe there's something to that?
I think that, you know, the administration is trying to straddle some sort of diplomatic middle ground on this, and they're just coming across as mealy-mouthed. Today Josh Earnest was trying to explain why they don't want to go along with the French government's terminology. Their prime minister came out and said this is a war against radical Islam. And so he was pressed by reporters and say, you know, why won't you guys use that? Why don't you agree with that? Because it seems pretty straightforward. You know, you're not saying every person who's Muslim. You're saying radical Islam. And Josh Earnest said that they don't want to use it because they don't want to attach the name Islam to it. So they just want to refer to terrorists as violent extremists who have sought to incite a religious war against Islam. I think some people, especially on Capitol Hill, are afraid that we're getting so much into the game of semantics on this that we're overlooking the greater problem.
Yeah, and it goes back to, too, the political correctness. You could throw a little bit of that in there, too, which is crazy. You know, it is what it is. And especially because other governments are very specific. Muslim governments are very specific when they're addressing that issue and saying that. So I don't get it. I think it's one of the crazy things that's gotten a lot of press and should, because it absolutely doesn't make any sense to me. All right, Bridget Johnson, the Washington editor for FreeJMedia.com. Thanks for coming on.
All right, thanks for having me.
Bye-bye. Wow, interesting stuff from Bridget Johnson. It's something we're all talking about. You know, on one hand, the president wants to say, oh, I'm reaching out and I feel you, and France, you are our ally. And then once again, they drop the ball. And frankly, I think a lot of that is the people around him, because remember, it's about delegating who's in the cabinet, who's your press secretary, who are the people, your chief of staff around you, because they're the ones that bounce all these things off the wall. And this was a very, very, very big miss, which is why I said to Bridget, can you imagine being a fly on the wall and not having any screens, meaning you can have open dialogue. When they have open dialogue and it's going round and round as to why do we do this and why do we do that, I would love to have found out what that conversation was about. Because how could they have dropped the ball on this one? It just makes absolutely no sense to me. All right, stay with us. We're all hopping the fence next here on America Tonight.
What good is a Big Berkey water filter?
We get that question a lot here at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And in a word, the answer is protection. Protection from water main breaks, E. coli contamination, environmental chemical spills, pesticide runoff, chlorine taste and smell, and all forms of fluoride. Plus, Big Berkey water filters are the original gravity water filter system and most trusted on the market for a reason. Tested by multiple independent NSF EPA certified labs, they are the gold standard in water purification. At only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. That means big savings. Big Berkey, the one that's powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get a Big Berkey today at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit our website or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
We are America's largest independently owned communications network, GCN.
On Facebook, on the news, and in conversations with friends, we're bombarded every day with advice on how to be healthier, from gluten-free and non-GMO diets to how much exercise and sleep the body needs. But how much have you heard about alkalizing the body? AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops are a holistic and natural way to get your body's pH levels back in balance. Just a few drops in water will help your body rid itself of harmful waste, and even the healthiest of diets can be complemented with your daily use of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops. Who isn't looking for more vibrance, vigor, and energy? Now buy two bottles of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops and get $10 off your order. Visit AlkaVision.com or call 800-518-7615. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops are packed with a powerful combination of the most alkaline minerals and compounds. Open the door to greater health, vitality, and zest for life. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health. Call 800-518-7615 or head to AlkaVision.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MYTV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
Yeah?
Did you want to see me, sir?
Well, I did, but now that I do, I'm not so sure.
Sir?
Johnson, I got a mission for you that could change your life.
Oh, good, sir.
It involves traveling halfway around the world without so much as half a clue of where you're going or what you're going to do when you get there.
Situation normal, sir?
Uh-huh. Well, I'll be leading this mission, Johnson, so I'll be telling you what to do.
You, sir?
That's right, Johnson, and I say first things first.
Oh, good plan, sir.
Yeah, and what I say is first is food. Always remember that, Johnson. Food is a big deal.
Sir, my brother-in-law can get us a really good deal on some surplus MREs.
Johnson, if you've got half a brain and that empty head of yours, you'll call the freeze-dry guy like I did. That food is better for you, it rehydrates faster, and it's good, Johnson. And it keeps for up to 30 years.
Will we be gone that long, sir?
Well, I hope not. Now, get your supplies organized and meet me down to the pier at dawn on Sunday. We sail at sunrise.
Yes, sir.
This adventure is brought to you by the freeze-dry guy. Call 866-404-3663 or visit freezedryguy.com.
Tales of American Political History with Clinton Porter Hackney.
We've been talking about how the President's Oval Office in the White House developed into what it is today. Today's Oval Office was completed in 1934. That's not unusual to build new office space over so many years, but why was it always oval? Well, in 1790, George Washington added on an oval addition to the back of his president's house in Philadelphia. It created a beautiful ceremonial space for people to meet and greet the president. Shortly after, there was a design competition for the new White House to be built in Washington, D.C. One architect that would submit his ideal design was a fellow named James Hoban. And just before he submitted his proposed design, Hoban visited President Washington in Philadelphia. Hoban loved the Oval Room so much that he put one on the second floor of his winning submission, and the oval shape has stuck around ever since. Clinton Porter Hackney at cphackney.com.
How about that? A little slice of history. Oval Office. Think about it. Makes complete sense, doesn't it? So many of you email this show each and every day, as I am very fond of saying, that I'm overwhelmed by the avalanche that we receive. Remember, you can always hit us up by punching in these digits, 855-266-5283, 855-266-KATE, like Gitmo. The push to close it is still on, but the push to try to remain, to have the detainees remain in Gitmo is also a big push, and there's a new bill floating around the Senate. I think it it just might be a moot point. We might see that Guantanamo stands and the president cannot persuade Congress to write the check for the kind of money and find the facility to transfer all of those detainees back to the United States and then off to wherever that would end up being. There's 127 of them right now. So you can always chime in on that or other things that are floating around that are annoying all of us. 855-266-5283. Or you can send emails just like all these people did. So we're going to head to the mailbag.
You have mail, mistress.
Thank you. This one from Archie, who says, Kate, I've been listening to America Tonight for a long time. I heard you mention about going into an urgent care facility and your experience and how you were surprised at the very pointed questions they were asking. And then when you asked them, why were they giving you the, as you called it, the a la carte menu and telling you the prices of everything, how confused people were. You just got a very, very big hint of what it's like for so many people who are on the affordable care route, how they're surprised because it's not what they are used to. They used to pay much less for their doctor visits and are confused about the deductibles and what ultimately they'll owe. Well, you know, the deductibles are high. I mean, the deductibles are high. The bottom line is, to me, I think for a lot of people, it's kind of like catastrophic coverage. So if you didn't have any, let's forget the whole Affordable Care Act thing. If you had zero insurance and then you were nailed in an accident and had a broken rib and, you know, a bone and whatever, and they had to do some work on you because you know how much all that costs, it would ultimately wipe you out or could wipe you out. And then that's why those catastrophic policies were designed a long, long time ago. I think they've been around, gosh, I mean, maybe for 30, 40 years. So people who didn't want insurance for whatever reason or couldn't afford some big policy or whatever, yada, yada, they had the catastrophic option. Now it's like everyone's on catastrophic insurance unless they have a company plan or they pay more for their premium and they've got a little bit less of a deductible. I mean, because there are plans out there floating around like that. And there still are employer plans. It just depends on what you're on. I think that's why the debate over the hours is interesting, because what happens when you move it to 40 hours versus 30 hours and how that messes up people depending on what industry they're in, especially when it comes to restaurants. I've had cousins and other people that have worked in the restaurant business. I mean, plenty of them with college educations that was the best job they could get. And regardless, it doesn't matter. And then those that I know that didn't have a college education, but they worked in high-end restaurants and could support their families that way. They were actually doing okay. And now because of the Affordable Care Act, that's hit every single one of them. And that, unfortunately, is one of the chain reactions to what's gone on. And now this argument over the subsidies will be pretty interesting to see how that ends up. I mean, you know, it's the bottom line. I keep saying this all the time. I don't want to go off on a tangent. I'm going to go back to the mailbag. But because Archie brought it up, what do we all want? I mean, forget politics aside for a second. People want to have access to health care to be treated when they need to be treated, right? Nobody really wants to go to the doctors all the time. Nobody wants to have to deal with sickness and illness and blah, blah, blah. And you can be as healthy as you think you are, and then suddenly you're struck down with something, and we know that. There's no guarantees in life. So when you're an infrequent user of health insurance, then you're blindsided when you go to use it. And if you're a frequent user of health insurance, you are also blindsided in some cases because of, you know, the premiums. It should be affordable. And a lot of this is a tangled up, gunked up insurance mess, and I don't understand why we couldn't erase state lines and make it so you got to be viable. You've got to offer the people the right thing. There's got to be competition. We've seen it work in other industries, but needless to say, be interesting in March. So we move from that to this one from Ryan. Wow, a couple of new people. And Ryan says, Kate, I'm another one from Sarasota, Florida. I'm I am definitely determined that you will be here in Florida and we will all get a chance to come and meet you. So hopefully you'll do something earlier for the people who need to meet you earlier. And please let us know when you're coming to Sarasota. And I have to tell you that a lot of people are talking about you here and of all kinds of varieties, as you are fond of saying. It doesn't matter, right of right, left of left. I've got friends on both sides, and listen, I voted Democrat and Republican. I vote for the person. So here's the question. Does Hillary beat every single person that's being offered up so far on the GOP side of the aisle? Well, this is early crystal balling, but if I look in the crystal ball, I mean, you know, it depends on who's running and the momentum they have, and it depends on the momentum she's got and who is going to be the VP on her ticket. And we're all just assuming, by the way, that it is Hillary Clinton. I don't think she bows out of this. There's just no way. But if she does, then that's a whole different deal. And I just saw something where, you know, Romney, you know, the whole Romney push, oh, gosh, maybe I'll go back in it. They just did an Iowa poll recently, right? And, you know, for president. And whose name is at the top of the list? Romney. Yeah, Romney. And it's a very small sample, right? But I guess some people are still thinking about him. Is he going to really have a position in this race? Are you kidding? He's got name recognition, but boy, you need more than name recognition, I would think. So you look at Romney, Jeb Bush, Scott Walker, Mike Huckabee, Rand Paul, Ted Cruz. Paul Ryan says he's out, so he's not a factor. He was in the poll. But Chris Christie, Marco Rubio, and Jeb Bush's name being there has pushed Rand Paul a little bit further back. Jeb Bush and Scott Walker seem to be coming up a lot more. I mean, who knows if the two of them would be on the same ticket or, you know, what would happen. So my answer to you, my long-winded answer is, I don't really have an answer. Is she beatable? Sure. But who is the nominee and how strong are they along with who's ever on the undercard? Because in that sense, it does matter. And it's going to be a heck of a 2016, I think, because a lot can happen between now and then. Some of the candidates that have emerged in the past have not been there, have not been one of the names off the bench 2 years before. So that can certainly change. All right, quickly, let's run down a couple of more. This one from Justin, who's listening to us in Jersey. I love that. Justin in Jersey. And Justin says, Kate, wow, what about this crazy plot about the guy who was trying to poison John Boehner, thinking that the Ebola thing was his dealio? I can't believe that. What a crazy deal. I guess he really had a shot at getting to John Boehner. Yeah, this story's getting a lot of play. Of course it is. He was just indicted, this Michael Hoyt, on the charges of threatening to murder the congressman, and he was going to poison his drink at a country club. He served, now this is scary, he served drinks to Boehner for 5 years at the Wetherington Country Club in Westchester, and so they knew him as Bartender Mike. And Hoyt called the cops on October 29th, a week after being fired from the club, and blamed Boehner for that. Blamed Boehner on his firing and all this other stuff, and said that he had brought Ebola to the country and just crazy ramblings. And so eventually they thought something was so wrong that he was threatening to kill him, that they sent somebody out to go and get Hoyt. They sent him out to his house, and he had a loaded automatic, and the other thing was, he said he was going to shoot Boehner and take off. And then he said he regretted he didn't have enough time to put something in his drink. And what happened was, Hoyt emailed Boehner's wife about the plot a day before he even called police. So he basically gave himself up by doing that. But he was the bartender there. He's, you know, he's at a hospital psychiatric ward, and you know, they fired him from his bartending gig, I guess, because he had a bad attitude, blah, 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 and members complained about him. But there's more to that story, I think. And can you imagine if he had really poisoned him? Frightening, huh? Man, oh, man. If you have any thoughts on anything, 24/7, americatonight.net. Click on contact and bada bing, you are in like that. Hit us up on the flip side, the Daily Wow.
The knowledge of the ancients, tried and true, trusted herbs and extracts fused with the latest nutraceutical science. Introducing the all-new Ancient Defense Herbal Immunity Blend, crafted with over 14 key ancient herbs and extracts to supercharge and prepare your body for what experts admit is the most dangerous season of the year. We have rejected hundreds of other formulations in our quest to bring you what is simply the most powerful and comprehensive proprietary formula that we have ever created in the realm of herbal immunity. For the last 2 years, our team has been working with top doctors, nutritionists, and chemists to develop the ultimate nutraceutical formulation. Experience the benefits of combining over 14 ancient herbs and extracts with exciting new advances in nutraceutical science. Now is the time to secure Ancient Defense for you and your family. Visit AncientDefense.com or call 888-253-3139. That's AncientDefense.com.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. If you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
You ever hear about Ghost 80% AR-15 rifle kits? At Guns80.com, they are the 80% specialists, helping to protect our privacy. Look, there are forces out there right now trying to register guns for future confiscation. UN treaties threatening our Second Amendment, our freedom. You need a Ghost AR-15. Get it at Guns80.com. Call 844-2-GUNS-80. That's 844-248-6780. Own an AR-15 today and keep it a secret. Go to Guns80.com. That's Guns80.com. 844-2-GUNS-80.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
How much did a rare coin from 1792 fetch? That's coming up next on the Daily Wow.
Honestly, we canceled an appointment to have Jake euthanized to give Dynavite a chance to save this dog's life. Jake is an 8-year-old male Akita. His entire stomach and groin area, his face, his elbows, his ears, every orifice was just riddled with yeast and sores. We had a vet treat him, and Jake didn't respond at all. My son heard a commercial for Dynavite, DINOVITE.com.
859-428-1000.
The omega-3 fatty acids.
Flaxseed, zinc, alfalfa,
the digestive enzymes that are cooked out of regular dog food.
Within 4 days, Jake started to heal. It was the most amazing thing I have ever seen. The yeast is receding, and now his belly is completely cleared up. It chokes me up. It brings tears to my eyes. Everything we tried failed except the Dynavite.
859-428-1000.
859-428-1000.
DINOVITE.com.
So imagine owning one of 10 so-called Birch cents, named for engraver Robert Birch. That's why collector Kevin Lipton says he paid $2.6 mil for one of the first pennies struck for the U.S. Now that's a real wow. I'm Kate Delaney, and that's the Daily Wow. Yeah, imagine having the cash to grab up one of those birch coins. Pretty cool looking, too. You can, this is the miracle of radio, right? But you can easily Google that and check out what that coin looks like. It's crazy. I mean, think of the year, you know, it's exactly what happened. They just had a handful of them left that we know of on the planet, and that's why it is such a rare deal. So you go from that, from a guy who can spend that kind of money, to the fact that right now in this country, food stamps have jumped up the food stamp use. I noticed this the other day when I was at the store, a whole bunch of people around me. But they're saying it exceeds $46 million for 38 straight months. I've never really looked at these statistics as closely as lately, but that means that topping that number is, I'd say, is pretty high. That's what the Department of Agriculture, of course, the USDA, releases those statistics. And that's pretty high. So you got to ask a few questions about that. You look at the Census Bureau, you look at the amount of people on food stamps, and, you know, the people on food stamps in comparison exceeded the populations of, like, Kenya, the Ukraine, Argentina, to give you a sense mentally of the picture of what that is. So households, people who are on food stamps, they get an average benefit of about $261 and a little change for the month, right? And the month cost taxpayers, if you look at that number, it costs taxpayers a crazy amount of money when it's all wrapped in. You know, you're looking at $5 billion, basically, because if you divide up all the months. So economically, it makes me wonder. We keep hearing, oh, but the unemployment number's down and things are so much better. And I just have to say to myself, I'm not seeing that completely. Yes, some people I know are doing pretty decent, but there's so many others who have kids that went through school, that have huge school loans, can't find jobs, are living with them. They're supporting them. They're trying to get them anything. There's people that are stringing together jobs. There's, I think there's a lot of people who are still really struggling and combining gigs or trying to help their offspring get jobs or whatever it is. And I think it's the opposite of a lot of the numbers that we hear. And also because some of the numbers that are released don't include what I would call the every man statistics. Like, how about the underemployed people? It'd be great to be able to get some hard data on that, but it's tough to find it other than through your own circles. And like I say, in my case, as I've reached out, talked to a lot of people about this, trying to collect my own information on it, it's a mixed bag because there are some that are doing okay, doing pretty decent, but they always feel like the ground's a little shaky, right? Because we know that the gasoline can spike back up again, and that's helped my household or whatever it is. And then others that are really stringing things together depending on where, you know, where it is, and the tax base, what the taxes are. Nobody likes the three dreaded letters of the IRS, do they? And in fact, the IRS warned of slower tax refunds, and they're saying more identity theft risks are happening. Has that happened to two people in my family? I know exactly what they're talking about with the identity theft thing. Somebody claims, puts the Social Security numbers on, and then it's combobulated. Yours gets kicked back out. That happened to my brother and sister-in-law. And it's happened to a lot of other people I know, too. And then they go through it and they give you a different number and blah, 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 blah. So there are plenty of IRS jokes to go around. And Senator Ted Cruz kind of touched a nerve when he compared the people who work for the IRS of, let's get rid of the sucker. And here's what we can do with all those people that work for that part of the government. Check out what he said.
In my view, there is a powerful populist instinct to take the 110,000 employees at the IRS, to padlock the building, and to put all 110,000 of them down on our southern border.
All right, so again, poking a little fun there at the IRS, but also really bringing up that third rail. What happens now with the president's executive action and what happens along the border? Because the Department of Homeland Security is funded through February, and then the argument, I think before that, the argument starts to take off as to, wow, what a crisis we have, because there's a lot of discombobulation. Earlier in this show, I spoke with former congressman from Ohio, Bob Ney, and Bob and I talked about this a little bit. I mean, the DHS is on a wild hiring spree, a very ambitious schedule, right? They just sent out a memo and to the immigration services, and because they got to process all the requests, because they're getting a lot of requests for these new applicants, and they're starting to accept the applications in late February. This is under that program for the people who came to the U.S. illegally as children, the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals. And they're looking to implement the most controversial, for sure, plank of Obama's plan, legalizing potentially millions of parents of U.S. citizens and legal residents, right? But what a colossal effort on an incredibly tight timeline. So there's questions as to whether they can pull it off or not. And I'd have to say that they're going to have a hard time pulling this off, because that machine is not up and running. There's confusion at the DHS. In fact, somebody I saw on the tube the other day was comparing it to Obamacare and how eager they were to get it launched, but the infrastructure wasn't there. They want to hire 1,000 people to process the applications in Crystal City, Virginia, just outside of Washington. 1,000 people. And they haven't started that process. They just started trying to do that. Wow. And they have leftover furniture. They don't even have everything set up. So to try to launch that first phase by February 20th, that's 6 weeks to hire, to vet the people, because you have to vet them, and train the employees. Is that ambitious or what? And, of course, they want to do it in February. Why? Because the funding, because of the debate, because of the legislation. I mean, Republicans are debating legislation this week to block funding for the immigration action. So you have this new office space hiring people, and now you've got an influx of people. And it's just typical. They knew that they were going to run into this, so why wasn't this already happening? Why weren't they already looking at this? Obama's announcement came in November. So they've known for a while that this was coming. And they've been thinking and planning it and ramping it up. So I don't know. Deferred action. Is it going to really be pulled off, or are there going to be a lot of problems with it? I think they're going to have a lot of problems. 6 weeks. Train, put people in place, and process those apps. Ooh, pretty ambitious, I would say. Got any thoughts on that one? Throw in your 2 cents, americatonight.net. Thanks for listening.
Are you always 5 minutes late? Maybe you're only late when you don't want to be somewhere. Then you realize you're always 5 minutes late. For work, you set 3 alarms, drag your feet in the shower, drink your coffee slowly until you're rushing out the door. 5 minutes late. It's not that you hate your job. Hate is such a strong word. You're just not that excited about it. But most people don't love what they do, right? Listen, if you're local to the Twin Cities, are hardworking, self-driven, with experience in sales, marketing, or advertising, are personable, and a whiz on the phone, you might want to join one of the largest independent talk radio networks in the world, GCN. Because right now, we are hiring, and we offer benefits.
Experience preferred, but we'll train the right person. Is that you? Submit your resume today to advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com. Come work with the Genesis Communications Network, where you'll want to be 5 minutes early every day.